It's that time again. You know him, love him. He's here with us. He survived the Super Bowl. It's Mitch Evans, and this is WirelessWednesday.live. And Mitch, thanks for taking time out of your busy schedule. I know you've been tweeting up a storm and busy the last couple of days, but we're back with Wireless Wednesday, and no one else I'd rather talk with. So great to have you.
Well, thanks a lot, Rick. I don't know about surviving. I still suffer my momentary lapses. Less than 48 hours from what happened at our taping time right now, and the Falcons. For me, they gave that game away on a silver platter. I mean, this for me was more of the Falcons choked the Super Bowl away as opposed to, you know, the Patriots coming back and winning it. And I don't want to take anything away from New England because what they did was absolutely amazing. But this was the greatest collapse, the greatest choke job in sports history, in my opinion.
Well, I agree. The Falcons kind of lost the game there, Mitch. I don't like to use the word choke, though, for this type of thing, because the Patriots actually had to make plays and had to be somewhat perfect down the stretch to win the game. Choking, I come from, you know, playing tennis and following tennis and other sports, and choking to me is when a person just absolutely collapses out there and can't even get his arm around and can't get the ball over there. They totally lose it. Where the Falcons, their defense had totally lost it. It wasn't because of choking. It was because they were absolutely spent by the middle of the fourth quarter. So the Falcons did lose the game, but you got to give the Patriots some due that they made every play they had to make down the stretch.
Oh, there's no question about that. You're exactly right. They had to be perfect and able to come back from down 25 points. It was 28-3 after the Falcons scored early in the third quarter. And it pretty much left the Patriots in a situation where they had to do everything, again, to use that word, perfect on both defense and offense. And they did, but the Falcons helped them. I thought the Falcons made some stupid decisions. Certainly when you've got a second and one at the 22-yard line and you're throwing the ball and then you have a holding penalty and then you're throwing the ball again and you get sacked and you got to punt the ball away to New England, that just opened the door for them. You know, after the Patriots kicked the field goal, the Falcons defense did a good job, held the Patriots to a field goal, and it was a 16-point game. Patriots were down, in essence, two touchdowns and two two-point conversions. Well, they've got to score four times. You've got to score the two touchdowns, and then you've also got to score the two extra points, which are virtually touchdowns.
Five times, really, Mitch, because then they would have to score in overtime to win the game.
Right. What they did was phenomenal. You're talking about the best coach who had his team prepared at half. He, you know, was able to talk to his guys and tell them, you're still in this game. Convince them, make them believe that they were still in this game. And they had the greatest quarterback we've ever seen. I mean, Tom Brady, without question, taking his team to seven Super Bowls more than any quarterback ever. Ditto for the coach and Bill Belichick. But he had, 250 yards passing in the fourth quarter. And this was a Brady who was having some issues. The Falcons were knocking him around for a while there. They had five sacks. They were putting the pressure on him. They were getting in his face. They had him off his mark. And he was underthrowing receivers. He was overthrowing receivers. They didn't help him either, Rick. There were some drops by Patriots receivers as well that helped them get into that 28-3 hole. But when the Falcons gave them the slightest opening, they crashed right through it. And the catch by Edelman, I don't think enough people are talking about it. I know it did come with like 7 or 8 minutes left, but it wasn't, you know, like the catch for the Giants that beat the Patriots on that game-winning drive to ruin their perfect season back, what was it, 10 Super Bowls ago already, however many it is. But I still feel like the Falcons choked this thing away.
Yep, to me, the game, as a tech guy, I was doing my calculations as far as the score, how many points they were down. When the Falcons recovered the onside kick and then they lost yardage, they couldn't even get 3 points out of that onside kick recovery they had, and they had to punt back to the Patriots. That was when, I think that was after they, like you said, the Patriots had made that field goal and it was a 16-point game. After that, I'm thinking this is very doable for the Patriots. But again, they had to make some plays, and the Falcons defense faced 93 plays that the Patriots had, and the Falcons only had 46 plays from the line of scrimmage.
Well,
Rick, that's incredible.
I'll cite you that. I mean, they were gassed. There's no question about that. Hey, look, when the Falcons scored, they scored quick. And that also played into the hands of the Patriots eventually because of the number of plays that they were able to run. But, you know, I talked about Brady and his greatness, but Belichick, again, proving. And I, you know, I don't know if this will totally dispel, you know, the cheating feelings about both Bill Belichick and Tom Brady when you talk about Spygate and Deflategate. True champions do what the Patriots did.
Yep.
On Sunday night. And again, you were right. You know, this wasn't just a situation where it was the Falcons who gave the game away. The Patriots had to be perfect, and that's what a champion does. And they were perfect. I thought one little nuance of what Belichick did was something that you don't see anybody else do. You know, with the new kickoff rules in the NFL the last couple of years, it's really kind of taken away the kickoff. You got the kickers who just blast the ball out of the end zone. Bill Belichick came up with a different wrinkle. He wants guys to return the kick so you don't get the ball at the 25-yard line. And what he was having his place kicker do was kick it short, kick it in between the 10 and the goal line, make them field it and try and run out with it. And it was a great strategy because it pinned the Falcons down a couple of times when the Patriots yep. didn't onside kick it. It pinned the Falcons down, you know, deep in their own territory. We saw what happened when Ryan fumbled on the sack. That led to one of their scores in the comeback. So I thought that was genius by Belichick. And in retrospect, too, you know, you look at the Falcons in the overtime, they kicked off to the Patriots, and they kicked it into the end zone. So New England ended up starting at the 25-yard line. So they didn't even try and do what the Patriots did. But the biggest bonehead decision was by the Falcons on, you know, the second and third downs to pass the ball instead of running it and play for the field goal. I've always maintained that for the Falcons, you got to get it in the end zone. You can't rely on 3 points. Matt Bryant is great.
That's been their strategy all year.
Exactly. I mean, reliable. This year has been different. The Falcons have been great in the red zone. They've been great in short yardage. So they were able to score more touchdowns in comparison to what they've done the last couple of years. They haven't necessarily had to rely on field goals out of Matt Bryant. And in this game, when they really should have relied on Matt Bryan in that situation, for whatever reason, Kyle Shanahan, who's now waltzed off to San Francisco with the, you know, the head coaching job there, and he admitted it. He said he blew it, that they didn't run the ball and at least play for the field goal.
Yeah, retrospect is always 20-20. But, yeah, good pickup there with what the Patriots were doing with those kickoffs. And then the Falcons were starting at the 10 or the 12-yard line a couple times, and that curtailed their drives a little bit. But that was maybe lost a little bit in the shuffle. One thing that wasn't lost in the shuffle, Mitch, was the leading up to the game and during the game, the Super Bowl watching experience. And I like following on social media how people are watching the game, where they're watching it, maybe what they're using as a vehicle to enjoy the game. Some people have a computer near them or a tablet, or they're on their phones while they're watching. What's your sports watching experience these days at the Evans household?
Well, you know, we watched the game here. We had a couple of people over, and it was, I mean, it, you know, first of all, it was incredulous as to what was happening with the Falcons jumping out 21-0 and 28-3. It was something that, is this really happening? And then 180 degrees, is this really happening the other way when the Patriots made the comeback? But I couldn't sit the whole game. Things were going so well. I started out standing, so I just stood for the entire Super Bowl. I refused to sit down. I didn't want to jinx anything. And who knows, maybe if I would have sat down at some point, it might have changed things. I like to think that way at least.
Yeah, that worked for me, believe it or not, on Saturday, Mitch. I was watching the Iowa State basketball game. Whenever I turned it on, they started making bonehead plays, and Kansas started making a comeback. So every time I turned it off, they'd come back. So the superstitiousness is being a part of sports, I know, too. So, yeah, we were watching at home on the big TV.
Sure.
And we had some people over, too, so I didn't get on maybe social media as much as I'd like to, but I was kind of watching the Twitter feed. I was watching your Facebook feed. Lindsay was giving me updates saying you guys were in your Falcon attire watching the game, and I hope the BFF didn't take the loss too hard. I know – I mean, me and you, we've been involved with sports for a long time. So we've had our teams, you know, we were used to losing. And I always get a kick out of the people that maybe only follow sports once a year and their team loses and they take it really, really hard.